What's up, podcast? I'm Joe Lemon. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. So I'm going to get right into resharing an episode that I did with Derek Shebby on his podcast, The B2B Deal Breakdown, where he dissects one of my infamous deals that I did that essentially got one of the startups I worked with in the past onto Shark Tank, and we leveraged those POs that I closed with a major retailer to actually get funding and then eventually get bought out by Damon John. So I think it's a cool story, but not so much that it was just like me just showboating, but there's some really cool things that we broke down about how I landed that account and the different strategies that I think that anybody can deploy to help them go land some of their key business and some of those big logos, some of those whales that everybody wants to get. So with that too, I also want to give a plug, shameless plug here, for my course that's coming out that's really focused on helping startups, micro businesses, and especially medical practices. Because those are just like, you know, entrepreneurial as any other business that I've been a part of, and really helping them lay out a great, simple sales strategy. Something that I say that you can go from $100 to $1 million. And not that you're going to make $1 million in your pocket. I don't want to come across as one of those sleazy guru type of sales people. That's not what I'm up to. Literally just talking about how you can top line revenue, generate $1 million in sales for your business. And I talk about the science and the math behind it, because I think that's what's focused on enough. Of course, you hear a lot about the mindset, a lot about, you know, how you gotta bring a certain attitude into the job, and there's a lot of quotes and all that stuff. And I think there's plenty of that out there, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. I eat up all that hustle porn, as they call it. But really, not enough people talking about what it truly takes to go ahead and get your business to the next level by understanding the math that of what those deal size and what those deal flows need to look like for you to achieve whatever your goals are around hitting your top line revenue. So with that said, guys, let's get right into today's conversation. Oh, before I do, if you're interested in taking on the course, please go to joealexlemon.work. Go ahead and jump into the actual waiting list. And I'm going to have about a room of 10 people for the first run through. Super inexpensive. It's going to be, you know, out the gate introductory prices, because this is my first course and I don't want to hype it up to be something that it's not yet. I want to make sure that it's delivering value. I know what I'm talking about here, but because I've done it for three other companies now, but I want to make sure that I'm delivering that message properly and you guys are receiving it. And I'm looking for nothing but honest feedback. So I'm looking for like another 4 people to jump on this live call with me, and we'll walk through the presentation, walk through the course. Again, this is going to be super low, less than $100. But if you're into it, give me ping me at joealexlemon.work. Let me know that you heard it on the podcast and you would like to take part in the actual live first round course. With that said, guys, let's get right into today's conversation.
Welcome to B2B Deal Breakdown Podcast, where we give you the play-by-play and some of the best deals out there. I'm Derek Shebby, and I'm excited to be meeting with Joe Lemon. He's a key account manager in the medical device industry. Welcome, Joe.
Man, Derek, I am pumped to be here, man. Glad to kind of share some wins and some major losses with your audience today.
I love it. Those are the best ones to learn from. Yeah. And I appreciate you allowing me to be on your podcast, The Real Value Exchange. You know, I love listening to that podcast, and it's a real treat for all of our listeners to have you share one of your deals you learned a lot from today. So, when you talked about getting into B2B sales, though, how long would you say that you have been in B2B sales?
So it's probably been about 10 years now. I mean, as far as B2B. And, you know, again, I started off, my very first job was doing cold calls. I was trying to sell data pretty much to construction companies about brand new job sites coming up. And I would crank out like 100+ phone calls. Really didn't like being on the phone and in that cubicle setup at the time. So I was like, all right, I need to get outside. I got too much personality to be inside. This is all the stuff I'm telling myself, right? And so anyway, I went out and I found the first job that would give me like a straight company car, because I had a busted car at the time. And these guys gave me a company car, and I just got to work, man. Yeah.
That's great. And then over the years, what roles have you held in B2B?
Yeah, man, everything from business development, which is pretty much the guy that goes out, digs in the dirt. You know, I mean, and again, outside sales is probably where I spent most of my time, AEs. And then now I'm doing more key account management. And this is a lot of fun for me, because this space that I'm working in, And it took me time to get here too. I've wanted to work in like medical device sales because I heard those guys made money for one, to be pretty clear. Yeah. Two, you know, it was one of those things where like, honestly, I just like working in like health. Like, you know, it takes me back to my personal training days. So now I work with a lot of smaller businesses, private practice owners, and people that are just trying to build up their actual shop, man. Like nothing glamorous at all. And it's a lot of door knocking still, a lot of reaching out on you know, random ways of trying to find where my audience is and then trying to meet them there.
That's great. That's great. So tell me more about the company that you're at right now. Like, what do you sell? What challenges does your offering solve? Tell me more about that.
Sure. So ever since I worked for that one Fortune 500 company, I've really enjoyed working for smaller businesses. One where I can kind of feel the pulse of the company really close to the actual CEO. Yeah. And so I'm working for this smaller German distributor, med device distributor. And we sell like products that pretty much help out the whole physical medicine space. So chiropractors, physical therapists, functional medicine docs, and we sell things that are like outside the box, not covered by insurance, mainly shockwave therapies, class 4 lasers. We have some really interesting type of tables, things that are really kind of higher end luxury goods. And so it's a really different sale, and we don't have a huge market. So we have to really be very focused and narrow and make sure that we bring a lot of value to those people if they're going to make a big investment with us. Cause most of our products range for about an average of, let's call it $20,000. Some are 10, some are about 30 and even 40, but like really average about 20, let's say. And, you know, for the most part, those guys, that's a big investment for these small businesses. You know, it's like literally like, do I buy another car? Do I get like another Honda Accord? Or do I go buy this actual device that's hopefully going to make me some more money and really help out my actual patients?
Nice. Can you give me an example of what one of the devices does, just to put it in context?
Gladly. Yeah. So as a runner, for instance, right? Like if you're out, lots of runners have plantar fasciitis, meaning pretty much you have any type of heel pain, foot pain, right? And this normally happens because you're just beating up on your actual tendons all the time. So we have one of our flagship products is called the actual PiezoWave Shockwave Therapy Device, and it's great for breaking up any type of scar tissue in there without opening up the actual skin. So it's a really different way to kind of go about putting in focused sound waves to help loosen up any of that damaged fascia. And it works great. It's being used by over about 40 plus pro teams now, college and pros. And so it's becoming one of the best ways to go about treating tendinopathies.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad there's technology like this that exists, because, you know, I mean, I'm going to get back into running again like you. You know, I want to be like you running these marathons. And if something bad happens, I don't want to have to cut open my body to fix it. And it sounds like that technology exists. So it's great.
Well, I mean, man. And you know, like that's where it's at. And that's part of the value that I have to sell, though, right? Is that, right, you know, how do you bring something to your patients that would prevent them from having surgery? And you all really got to put yourself in the actual doctor's shoes. And it's just have to have a lot of empathy around even like what the value is, but then why they wouldn't move forward with it and why they're kind of, you know, hung up on not moving forward with you. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the end consumer is the one that doesn't really want to have to do the surgery.
Yeah.
And if you're speaking for them and you have something for that end consumer, then they should be trying to find ways to meet their needs. So I love it. So why'd you choose this particular deal that you're going to share with us today?
Man, so this is the deal that I think really shaped my character going forward in sales. It's something that it starts off sexy and pretty, has some cool logos and all that, but all that gets kind of washed away as we kind of work through it. So I thought it'd be good to kind of share with the audience, man.
Yeah. We can keep the company names confidential so no one gets in trouble. But I mean, in terms of, you know, it was an account that you might have been a little nervous about because there's a big logo. That's one thing. It sounds like it's going to be very interesting because it's shaped the way that you sell. I love it. So yeah. What size deal are we talking about in terms of like your budget, your quota?
Yeah. So I'm going to walk back. So this was with an actual company that is a much smaller type of startup brand. And this is one of our biggest deals that we ever did at the time. And I'm talking about startup, like there was like 7 people on the team. Oh, and, nice. And literally we were just trying to land at one of these key accounts, a big box retailer. So this deal size was about $250,000, which was huge for the company at the time.
So was that, did you have quotas back then? Could you relate?
Yeah. So, you know, What's so interesting about working with a lot of smaller companies, they don't have a good sales strategy and a really good base. And so, yeah, we had quotas, but I mean, it was literally picking stuff out of the sky. like it was guesswork.
Maybe, we'll do this this month. Maybe just try to shoot for that. Whatever you can get.
It'll be nice. It'll be nice if we can do this, you know? And it was a lot of that conversation and it wasn't based on a lot of metrics. And that's kind of why I really like kind of looking back at those experiences, because that's something I had to learn along the way, that I love bringing in the actual metrics now because data helps set the tone for me, at least give me some good expectations.
And also it makes it even more exciting, because if you don't have those numbers and you're bringing in a big deal like that with a big name, then it shows even more of your sales ability, because you had to sell something that there wasn't anyone else doing it. And you guys were the first, you know, seven people on the team. So it sounds like it's gonna be an interesting story. So how did you first, I guess, find this account, this deal that you wanted to go after?
Man, so it was one of those accounts that we like dreamed to get into. So we were looking at them, we were studying them. And I could I give you guys the play by play too. And I know you have questions, so stop me if I get too fast.
Yeah.
In this, but yeah, it was somebody that was one of those logos that you put on the wall, and everyone's like, man, if we can get in there, you know, one of those.
Yeah.
And so key accounts, and literally I did homework on LinkedIn. I tried to find as many buyers lists as possible. Like wherever I was just looking through the web, looking for who are the people in this department that I need to get in front of. So a lot of homework and cold emailing is really how I kind of got in there. And I was even using tools like off the web to help kind of scrape the actual websites to figure out what the right, combo is and all that stuff. So yeah.
Sure. So you start off trying to find who to contact.
Yeah.
And you were sending cold emails. So were the cold emails to try to find out who to contact, or were they try to set appointments?
So literally both. And as I got better with my cold emailing, I began to ask, okay, like who's in charge of this? But in the beginning, to be quite honest with you, I didn't even know where to start. So it was a horrible can of, like, I threw up on people. and literally, this is a pretty big company. So I remember contacting 26 buyers throughout this process, and they were in my actual, you know, Excel sheet, basically. And I'm just poking around looking for the right person. And eventually someone did point me in the right direction and say, hey, this person is who you need. Copied them on the email. And that started the whole conversation.
I love it. 26 people. So this account sounds massive. And I think a lot of people could relate too. So the B2B salespeople listening in, if you're thinking, I got to go after this large account and you want to break into this whale or this conquest customer, whatever you guys call it, this is one way of doing it. But the thing I want to highlight that you did though, Joe, is you just tried something, you know? And I know you said you threw up over yourself. And I think it's always funny when we look back on deals and we say, I can't believe what I did to do that. But you know what? It's better than doing nothing. And it's better than just sitting back and going, it would be nice. I mean, you said, I'm going to go after 26 people and someone's going to help you get some sort of information. And it worked. So they copied someone in on the email. Mm-hmm. And then what did you do with that?
Yeah. So, you know, I knew based off my previous B2B experience, I need to try to set this meeting with this person. Like, you know, don't get into being too, you know, pie in the sky about what the company's vision is and, you know, how it's going to change the world and all the rest of that. I need to get time with this person. And so that was my very next step. I was like, I would love to fly up and come and see you. I was based out of Atlanta at the time, there in Pittsburgh. And so that's where I was born and raised. So it was even more pressure for me to want to go back home and do some work. And so anyway, long story short, I just literally tried to lock an actual time with the person. I didn't want to do too much over the phone because I knew that if I got on the phone, we didn't have a strong enough value prop yet. And we didn't have a lot of evidence there that it was going to have to take some time with the person. So that's what I focused in on.
Okay, nice. So this was all via email.
Cold emails. Yeah, cold
emails. Great. So your email skills are probably up there if you're convincing these people at this point, you know. And were you highlighting, hey, I'm going to fly up there and meet with you? Like, you know, we're a big company. We'll fly up there. That's how important you guys are.
Yeah. I mean, man, you know, one thing that I think I caught on that has worked out for me early is when you're talking to strangers, get to the point. And so my emails were like three sentences. I try to hold myself no more than four sentences. So I try to be really direct and really straightforward. And I still kind of use that stuff today. But it definitely wanted to come up and try to get some time with you. And I tried to like set it as if I was busy. I didn't have anything going on.
I love it. It's perfect. It worked over email. So So I like it. So then you had this meeting, you flew up there and you sat down with them. Before you walked in though, and had this meeting, how did you prepare for that meeting? If you can remember?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, lots of homework, man. I mean, so again, this is one of the places that was like the crown jewel of the company. Me and the actual CEO flew up together. So it was like, you know, a lot of pressure, right? You know, both of us want to do well and like, you know, we're really scrappy. And so we had this meeting and like prior to doing the meeting, we're homework on all the buyers, the person that we're meeting with. I'm looking at LinkedIn stuff. I'm looking for them on Facebook. Couldn't find them. Was just looking for stuff, right? Because people that are hard to reach, they don't normally post their life. Like I, you know, they aren't like me where you can go, you know, you could easily sell something to me. You want to know what type of me, you go to my profile, I tell you everything. I'm having a baby and then it's, you know, you can get whatever juice you need to go close me down. Right. But these people didn't have much information and it was hard to find. So we had to do some homework as far as what it would take for us to kind of show them value beyond just showing that we had a cool product to offer.
Yeah. So did you guys put together a slide deck? Was there, I mean, you guys were trying to get customers. So, you know, I'm really curious about how, did you guys have 30 minutes? Did you have an hour? What was the strategy there?
Yeah, man. So, you know, what was really interesting with these larger companies, it's they're used to eating through vendors, right? And they have the buyer rooms already set up. So we did have a short presentation and, you know, it was one of those things where like we had a couple slides, but and like hindsight, our slides were mainly about us and we didn't show any value towards why they had to work with us like that. It was more so like a me, like look at me presentation. Yeah. And so like a lot of stuff about us, canned stuff that they could have got from the website basically. And so what was interesting, like, you know, as we're in the actual waiting room in this like long hallway with these buyer meetings, cause they're used to doing this all day. They talk to guys all the time and, you know, yes or no type of PO type of like conversation after the pitch. And so we did have an actual presentation ready though.
Okay. So tell me about the actual meeting then. So you were prepared for it. You walked in.
Yeah.
It was about you, the slides, but I mean, obviously this has a happy ending somehow. So how, tell me what connected, what worked on the meeting.
Yeah, man. So I think we had a little bit less than an hour. I mean, I want to say about 45 minutes, over 30, but a little bit less than an hour. And literally, so the buyer comes in, you know, big time buyer, quote unquote, sits us down in this cold boardroom, puts us across the table. So, you know, got the bullets sweating and all that, and go through our presentation, start a pitch, get into it, asking questions. And we're trying to show social proof was one of the things that I think did work through that. So because I was going back home, I tried to meet with as many people in the area that would allow us to add some street cred basically. So, or at least show that we are connected to this community. You know, like, okay, so I went to all the major universities. I went to the pro teams, you know, exact same thing. I bugged the crap out of people, to be quite honest with you. So I could try to get these meetings and I let people know I was on a limited time. Cause at this point I was. Now that I had this one key meeting, I let people know, okay, all right, I'm going to be meeting with this key person, you know, in your city. I'll be here for 36 hours. Love to meet with you as well. 5-10 minutes, whatever you got, just love to drop by and say, hey. So we did as much of that as possible. So well, let's before
pause,
the meeting.
Pause there. Hold on. This is like, this is great stuff, Joe.
Okay.
So, part of your strategy and your preparation was to show social proof. And I think this is really smart because I mean you're selling at this in this situation you're selling for a new company. It's a startup. Not a lot of companies know about who you are, and you're thinking, how do we land this major client? Well, you knew that. Well, your strategy was to show that you were working with people in the community that they would recognize, and you then planned ahead to call them up, to call up all those people. Part of your strategy to try to say, hey, I'm meeting with this person. And you haven't even had that meeting yet, but you're saying, well, maybe over here, I want to meet with you too, talk about what we're doing as well. And you scheduled up all these other meetings too. Let me just make sure I got that right.
Dude, you know what? I didn't even stop and think about that, but yeah, that's exactly what happened. I mean, you know, what's so interesting. I learned this from whenever I was doing B2B selling warehousing space, like, and you wouldn't just go have one meeting. You would go around, you would get everybody in these small business parks. Cause you know, lots of these people that do any type of imports and exports, they're in the back of these dusty business parks that you would never go to if you're just going home, right? And so I would hit up all the businesses. Like I wouldn't just have that one meeting. I would get everybody around the block. And so I did the same thing whenever I went to Pittsburgh.
I was like, I love that.
every city, everybody that has his name or anybody that might make sense. And some of the meetings were good. Most of them weren't, but I think it maximized our time. So thanks for kind of catching that.
I just want to point that out. I think this is like a ninja best practice technique right here. Just for anyone listening in, and you go, you scheduled a meeting you're really pumped about, and you want to make this meeting, you know, work. Well, it sounds to me like, I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead here, but it sounds to me like the social proof was what allowed this meeting to get to the next step. But you were thinking ahead for that, and also thinking, well, let's just say the meeting is a bomb, it doesn't go well. Yeah. You can at least use that to meet with other people in the area. So if you're B2B listening in, you're going, a B2B salesperson, you're saying, shoot, how do I find more opportunities? Well, if you schedule one new opportunity, new conquest appointment somewhere that you're excited about, why don't you just take, just obviously don't schedule it for the next day, give yourself some time like Joe did here, but why don't you think about all of the other, you know, marquee type accounts that are close by that you'd also like to break into and leverage the fact that you're meeting with them to meet with those other companies. It's just such a smart idea, Joe. I think people should start doing that. Appreciate anyway, I love it. I love it. And that's strategy. That's what we're talking about. This sort of strategy is how you grow and how you get more business. So, so fantastic. So you have this meeting, you're talking about yourself, and then you bring up the social proof aspect. So tell me how that went.
You know, that's what really kind of tipped it for us, I believe, too, throughout that meeting, because when it was all about us, I remember kind of that glazed over, uninterested look.
Yeah.
When I started telling them that we met with the three major universities in the area, and we also met with one of the pro teams in the area, I mean, that started to kind of get some wheels turning about how we could possibly work together. And you know, you're absolutely right. Nobody knew us, like, you know, small company out of Atlanta, not even close to the city. And, you know, people from Pittsburgh are very blue collar and probably even thinking like these hot shots from the South coming up here trying to do something, but I think that that really got the wheels turning, at least getting them open to like seeing if there's going to be opportunities for us to kind of do something together.
I love it. So you guys, what happened at the end of the meeting? What did you guys close for?
So, you know, it was funny, man. Like left the meeting, said that we're going to do a deal with you, but they didn't give us an actual number. So now we don't know whether we're going to go, you know, it's going to be a big deal, it's going to be something that's life-changing for the company, or it's going to be something that's just kind of, I'll take a couple of those, you know, products, you know? I mean, we're obviously being young and just pumped about life, we're like, it's going to be huge, life-changing, you know, of course, we're thinking, you know, this is going to kill it. And once we got the PO, it was definitely a big PO. But I wanted to bring up this point, because this is where, yes, cool, we got the win, but where it gets weird is, they asked us in the meeting, and this is, I think, one of the big parts of the reason why I wanted to bring it up, is should we start with going with a small sample size to make sure that we do this right, this whole rollout of your product right, or should we do a nationwide rollout? And me being, you know, me and the CEO, like, let's roll nationwide, you know, let's go big, right?
I love it.
And of course, it sounds great, makes for great, you know, Instagram posts and all the rest of that stuff that people want to kind of brag about. But what we really did was oversell, right? And what would have been so much smarter from a business standpoint was to see how we can truly deliver on the solution and the product that we wanted to bring to their customers, instead of trying to just get the deal done. So we got the PO and they asked that question, do you want to go small, tight sample size, start regionally and like a couple doors and do those right? Or are you guys ready to roll? Ready to roll. And that was a huge, huge lesson I learned from that.
So was it a huge lesson as in you should do the full thing or you should start off sample size? Like, what was the lesson for you?
My whole lesson for me was that your whole sales career is a marathon, at least for me. Like you know, my whole thought is I'll be doing sales, selling something of value to people my whole life. I don't, you know, I might change titles, but I'll be selling, right? And so my reputation and making sure that I know how to actually deliver and show up in the best way, so I can always show up with confidence to every meeting, that when you work with me, I'm thinking about from your perspective about how this is a win-win business relationship and not just us being friends. And I think at that time in my life, I was more of a friends guy and more a relationship, quote unquote, sales guy. And I sold off of that instead of selling off of what's going to impact your business in the right way. Because if you can impact someone's business the right way, you're in it for the long haul. They don't want to let you go. But if you can have a great time with someone, you're here today, you could be gone tomorrow. And so that was the thing that I really got big from it.
So you got the whole go big or go home, basically.
I went big, man. Yeah.
Let's just go for it.
We said do a nationwide rollout. Give us the biggest, fattest PO that we can cover. And I even give you some actual juice behind it too, man. Because I don't mind talking logos. It's been documented before. Yeah. So it was with Dick's Sporting Goods, and you know, Dick's Sporting Goods based out of Pittsburgh. They got over 600 doors nationwide. Wow. They gave us like 150 doors at the time. And so we didn't have the money to actually fill those orders. That's how scrappy we were. So my CEO got on the Shark Tank, took those PEOs that we got and put them on Shark Tank, man. Pretty much Damon John said, I'll help you guys kind of fund those orders. And that's how the process started, man. And so we were literally holding up getting payment from Dick's Sporting Goods because we're like, wait, we got to get these orders filled first so we can send them to you. I mean, man, so it was a massive learning experience. It was great, great times, man. But I mean, there was so much I learned from that, from running around the country trying to, you know, make sure that we were trying to figure out how to sell through. And one thing I guess maybe for anybody else that's in this space or works with any account where you're trying to have a relationship with them, where it's a very start just to get in there. Like a lot of people get excited about closing that first deal. But a lot of times for most people, it's about having that reoccurring revenue, right? It's about keeping them on board. And you won't keep them on board if you can't deliver consistently. And so for me, that was huge to kind of figure out that I got to figure out to make sure that we don't just close the first deal. That's just the entry point. You know, that was like, oh, that was cute. The real win is showing up month after month, quarter after quarter. And when they look back at your numbers that you're selling through the product, and that's a real win-win for everyone.
I love it. I mean, so looking back, I guess, you know, at all, what sort of advice would you give the B2B salespeople listening in? Because I thought there were a few things that were advanced selling tactics that I really enjoyed hearing about. But what advice would you give the B2B salespeople listening in so they could do great for themselves, whether they're just starting out in sales or maybe they're in a startup or even they just they have conquest, you know, giant customers they're trying to break into?
Yeah, I would definitely say this first one, man. I really loved how you point out a couple of things I didn't even think about coming into this conversation. One, I reached out to anyone. I just get started. Like, get in the game. Don't be a spectator in sales. Put your foot out there, right? And start truthful and start honest, but figure out a way, right, to actually get into these spots that you want to get into, especially these key accounts. Stay persistent with it. You got to learn how to go from failure to failure and keep that same energy, same, like, you know, level up, chin up type of attitude. That would be one. Two, I would say, you know, figure out where that value is for people. Like, don't just lay there and think that whatever you got from your marketing department or your, you know, sales manager is the way. Like, get your hands dirty by getting into the industry and talk to those customers, the people around you, to understand where they see the value is. Because it's cool for me to go tell you, Derek, that, oh, this is going to be valuable for you for this. And if that doesn't resonate, you're like, Joe, that's not value to me. Maybe to you, but it's not to me. And so I 100% say figure out truthfully, and it might take some off hours work. It might happen outside of your 9 to 5. And that's the tricky part with sales, is being able to manage that. Those are a couple of things I could think about off top that I would say, anybody doing B2B, man, you got to stay persistent. You got to figure it out. And you really got to like uncover where that value is based off your client's perspective.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you mentioned it staying positive too. I just want to ask one more question about that. What advice do you have? Like, how do you keep the right mindset, you know, when you're facing rejection?
Man, I mean, honestly, man, I think I look back at the history. You know, it's not that this started off pretty, because I'll be the first to tell you, my first 100, and when I was making 100 phone calls plus at that one company of pounding the phones, I mean, I remember my whole boss saying, hey, man, everybody likes you here, man, but, you know, you're not moving the needle when it comes to sales, man. So I'm putting you on a time limit here, you know, like, you know, I'm looking out for you. And you know, I think that when you look at your failures and you realize that you're still here, you know what I mean? Even if you got fired, all right, cool. You got let go, but you're still in it, right? And as long as you look for that 1% improvement on a regular basis, I think that, you know, you over time, you'll be able to figure out a way, especially if you stay very curious with it. So, I mean, my whole thing is like, I look back at my history and say, hey, I didn't perish then. I'm not going to perish today. Move on, you know?
I love it. I love it. If people wanted to learn more about you, Joe, maybe connect with you or just hear more about your podcast, where would you recommend they go?
Yeah, man. So I got two podcasts. One's called Sales Culture. I really got big into podcasts. I'm a podcasting head, honestly. So I started selling advertisements for other podcasters. That's what I'm big into now as Sales Culture. That's one of my projects. But really, full time, I'm still in the trenches selling key account manager. And once the world opens back up, I'll be back traveling all across the globe. But you guys can find me on LinkedIn is probably the best place. You can find me at Joe Alex Lemon on any platform. I try to make myself easy to catch. If you're looking for me, type in Joe Lemon. Hopefully you'll see YouTube or something else out there that will easily point you back to me.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Hey, this has been great, Joe. And I really like some of these advanced selling tactics that you brought up in this deal today. So thanks for being on.
No, man. Derek, I love what you're doing, man. I love the fact that you allow me to kind of take it step by step and then even just recall the fact that it was little things that I did that I just overlooked, man. So thanks for what you're doing here, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I learned too. Well, that's it for today's session, everybody. Thank you so much, Joe, for helping all of our fellow B2B salespeople out there improve their sales skills. For our listeners, if you'd like today's highlights, be sure to check out our summary on modernsalestraining.com. Have a great sales week, everyone, and we'll see you next time.